We're beginning a series on the study of the lives of the apostles. We're going to begin with Peter, and we're going to look at his life in two parts, just very briefly, because Peter has more written about him than any other apostle. And if we were to do a study just on his life, it would take many, many meetings to cover that. So what we're just going to do over the next two sessions on the life of Peter is, first of all, look at his faith and his personality, his character. And second part, we will look at his failures and how the Lord restored him. Our reading is, to begin with, one of our many readings, is Matthew 4, verse 18 to 19, where we read, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Firstly, we look at Peter's salvation. Simon, as he was born in the small town of Bethsaida, which is on the north side of Galilee. We're told that Bethsaida was the city of Andrew and Peter in John chapter 1, verse 44. His name was Jonah, or Simon, son of Jonas, Bar Jonah, he's called. So his father's name was Jonah, and at some point, Peter, his wife, his brother Andrew, and his mother-in-law moved to the bigger town of Capernaum, where Jesus would come to live after he was rejected at Nazareth. He became a believer when Andrew, his brother, introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, "He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which has been interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." John chapter 1, verse 41 to 42. Now Simon and Andrew, his brother, were both fishermen. And Matthew 4:18 tells us, as we have read, they were partners, they were fishermen, and they were partners, we're told in Luke 5, verse 10, with James and John, the son of Zebedee. So these four, these two brothers were friends with these other two brothers, James and John, and knew each other very well, were good friends and business partners, and became partners as apostles in the work of the gospel. So that was his salvation. We're told it was through his brother Andrew who came to meet the Lord Jesus and believe on him. Secondly, we know about him. What we know about him is his sacrifice. We read in Luke chapter 5, verse 11, "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." On that miracle, during that miracle that Jesus did when he gave them a great catch of fish, we read that Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Luke chapter 5, verse 5 tells us. He showed his willingness to obey all that the Lord Jesus told him, even though the Lord Jesus was a carpenter, not a fisherman. Peter was the experienced fisherman, but he bowed to the authority of the Lord. And there was such an abundant catch of fish that day. We read, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath." It came to pass, we read, there was such an abundance of fish caught that day, Luke chapter 5 tells us, that they forsook everything and left all. The most successful day, the most money they could have made from so much fish, and yet everything was left behind for the Lord Jesus. The Lord never called lazy men to his work. And the Lord calls those who are willing to sacrifice everything for him. God wants 100%. He expects nothing less than 100% from our life. Peter gave the Lord 100%. He left everything behind. He forsook all and followed the Lord Jesus. We see the main thing we learn about Peter is his leadership. He's called the first by the scriptures. In all the lists of the apostles, Simon Peter is named first. For example, in Matthew 10, verse 2, now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who's called Peter. So scripture calls him the first. He's always put first because he was a natural leader. We read in Mark's gospel, in Matthew's gospel, they're grouped together as brothers or as companions. We read the first, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So in Matthew, the apostles are grouped together in twos. But in Mark's gospel, when they're listed, they're separated by the word and. And he ordained 12, Mark 3:14 tells us, and it goes on to say, and Simon, he surnamed Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. So what we learn is this, that Matthew shows fellowship, two together, working together. Later on, Jesus would send his disciples two by two. But Mark, which is the gospel of God's servant and the gospel of service, shows them individually. He chose this one and that, and he chose 12, showing that each servant is responsible to the Lord alone. So both are important. We need the fellowship of other servants when we serve the Lord, but also each one is answerable to his master. But in all the lists, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Simon is the first because he was a natural leader. He was bold. He was courageous. He was willing to do things others would hesitate to do. When he spoke, others followed. We see this in John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. So whenever Simon sent something, the others followed him. People often complain in their church and assembly, it's going nowhere. Maybe they're waiting for somebody to get up and say, I'm going fishing for men, and the rest will follow. We need leaders. We need those raised up of God, not lords who make themselves lords over God's people, but genuine leaders raised up of God, who by their example and by their courage and boldness and vision lead the church forward. They are zealous to do things for God, zealous to take others along and motivate them. We need such leaders, and God alone can raise them up when we pray for them. Now, Peter was the first to speak. We read in Matthew 16 how he rebuked the Lord Jesus when the Lord said he was going to suffer and die. Matthew 16, 22 and 23, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, O Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So here was the beginnings of Peter's failure. He thought he knew better than the Lord, and he allowed Satan to put wicked thoughts in his heart, which he uttered to the Lord. He was seeking to prevent the work of Calvary's cross taking place. You know, when we start beginning to think we're smarter than God and don't feel our own weakness and foolishness and absolute need of dependence on the Lord, we are going to head for a fall like Peter did. But he was the first to ask questions and first to speak. We read in Luke 18 and verse 28 to 30, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. He wanted to know, what are we going to get? We have left everything to follow you. He was the one who would speak on behalf of the others. Matthew 26:33, again he speaks. And he says, though Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He boasted that he was more faithful to the Lord than anyone else. He loved him more than others. And then also he spake real more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all, Mark 14, verse 31. You see how when he spoke, the others spoke after him. When he said something, the others repeated what he said. He was a leader, and others followed his lead. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? John 13, verse 6. So when the Lord was washing their feet in the upper room, Peter was the one to protest. We also learn in John 13, 23 and 24. Now there is leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. So when Jesus announced that he was going to be betrayed, who was the first wanting to find out? It was Peter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. John 13, 36. So he was the first to speak, the first to ask, oftentimes saying things he should not say. But he was also the first to jump into the sea. Twice he jumped into the sea. He walked on water. He showed a faith that others lacked. Though he wavered when he sank, and the Lord rescued him. We know the story well, Matthew 14, 28 and 29. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You'll notice that the other disciples didn't volunteer to jump in the water, but Peter did. He had a desire to do great things for God, which is what this miracle taught them to do. Not to believe all things are possible, even walking on water. And Peter wanted to do that. Though when he looked at the storm, he began to waver. The Lord called him onto the water. And Peter did walk on the water for a while. You know, before he left for India on May the 30th, 1792, William Carey spoke at a Baptist Association meeting in Nottingham, England. And he encouraged them to go into missionary work and convert the heathen. He said those words which are always quoted of concerning him. He said, expect great things. Attempt great things. Others say, he said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. Well, that's exactly what Peter wanted to do. He wanted to do great things for God. And even if the others didn't, he wanted to, and he was the first to jump into the water to walk. And also, after the resurrection, when there was the other second next haul of fish in John 21, 7, we read, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Again, he's the first to jump into the sea before anyone else. He was also the first to fight. We read in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 18, 10 and 11, Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? See, Peter wanted to defend his Lord against these evil men, and swung his sword to kill. He was a fisherman, not a soldier, and thankfully he missed cutting off Malchus's head. But the Lord in grace overruled what Peter did, and he healed Malchus's ear. Peter was actually not by words like he did before when he rebuked the Lord Jesus, but now by his deeds was hindering the greatest work that God was about to do at the cross of Calvary when his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would die for sinners. Nothing was going to allow the Savior to stop that happening. And he would rebuke Peter, his zealous disciple, mistakenly wanted to defend the Lord against these men, not realizing it was all God's plan for the Lord to be arrested and to be crucified. But there again, we see he's the first to fight. None of the other disciples were fighting, but he brought a sword and he was the first to use it to attack these men. He was truly a born leader. He was also the first to run. On the resurrection morning, John 20, verse 3 and 4, we read, Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. So Peter again takes the lead. He runs. He runs to the tomb, and John outruns him. And so we see in Peter's life that he was a leader. And leaders make mistakes because they want to do things. They want to be bold and courageous for the Lord. And they want to say things and ask things and oftentimes make a lot of mistakes. And that's what Peter did. He made lots of mistakes, we know. He said things he shouldn't say and he even denied the Lord. But we need people like Peter today. His life is a challenge to us. He was the first to ask, the first to speak, the first to jump, the first to run, the first to fight, the first to want to do something for God, wanted to do great things for God. You know, oftentimes in our assembly, people sit around and things need doing and nobody does them. They all seem to look at each other. We shouldn't just be looking at each other and hope that somebody else does it. Get up and do it yourself. Learn from Peter to do something. Take the initiative. In spiritual matters or even practical matters, get up and do it. Don't just wait for others to do things. What an example Peter set for us of leadership. We should pray for God to raise up leaders like that. But we should also learn to get up and do things for God ourselves. Not waiting for others. Not waiting to see what who else is going to do. Just get up and by faith, do what God has put on your heart to do. So may the Lord bless this short introduction to the life of Peter. Next time, we're going to look at his failures and how the Lord restored him. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.